having the space and the time to process a story and work through it to create this video is something that's amazing. And we've talked about in the past that it can be public, but it can also just be something for you. And my hope for 2024 is to do some more workshops where the product doesn't necessarily need to be anywhere, that it's the process for those people as they're working through their stories. And so I am doing some work with Canmore Counseling. They're doing something called the Heart-Based Business Academy in January and February. And so I've set aside some time to work on what it is I want to be bringing. And what I want to be bringing is workshops and retreats to the Bow Valley around digital storytelling. So I've said it. I don't know how long it's going to take, but that's my goal. Welcome to Leading Through Stories, a podcast that explores the how and why of digital storytelling. My name is Christy Wolf, and each episode I connect with storytellers or common language digital storytelling facilitators to learn more about the health and wellness stories they are creating and sharing. Life is made up of meaningful moments. Which ones do you want to share? Now, today we're doing kind of like a bonus episode. This is a little exciting. I'm actually really excited to have Mary Michalithes and Helen Rose back on. This is the original crew from Leading Through Stories. These two women, when I was like, I want to try live streaming, they were like, yes, let's do it. So in the pandemic, we did this once a month. We did a live stream. And then when I said, I'd like to try turning that into a podcast, they said, yes. And then we did it for another year. So we have two seasons of conversations. The first year was really conversations just between the three of us and our experiences and what we bring through our work. And then the second season was every second episode we would bring on a guest. So we had Fiona Groves and we had Alexis McCowan and we had, who else do we have? Lisa Bellanger. I'm actually seeing her tonight. And Heather Patterson. So we had like a number of different guests. And I have to tell you both that this is really what led the way to me taking Leading Through Stories a little bit further with digital storytelling. And what you allowed me to learn and to practice and the conversations we got to have really started this all off. So thank you so much. And we were just, before we started recording, we were talking about how we haven't seen each other. So I got to see Helen yesterday and I saw Mary recently, but ladies, how are you?
Christy, thank you for that, those comments. I need to let you know that, you know, as I think about our relationship, the three of us, it has enhanced who I am, what I do at so many levels. And so as much as you're thanking us, I'm saying thank you to both of you for this incredible friendship, but also the learning that's gone along with this. So yeah, nice to see you guys.
We have that kind of friendship that if we don't see each other for a year and we see each other, it's like, meh, it was like we just saw you yesterday. I love that.
Why don't you tell us what you've been up to? Tell us about Cinderhelly. What's been going on for you?
Okay, so Cinderhelly has been like year 13 now of business. So that's been fabulous. And that is wonderful. And I have, you know, wonderful staff. I don't really have a lot to do day to day with it. I kind of deal with, you know, invoicing and any client issues if we have any, which is rare. But for me this year, it kind of turned into a year of family for me. And I have a very dear friend who is like my sister, who is unfortunately going to pass into the other world. And so that's sad. So I've been home quite a bit in Ontario looking or just being with her when I can. And then I've got my littles, who anyone knows me, how crazy I am about my little granddaughters. And my son and daughter-in-law just went to Mexico for their very first vacation away from their kids. And I got them for 7 days. Oh my God. So much fun.
What a blessing, Helen. You know, as I think about for the kids and you as well. Wow. That's amazing.
You know, a bit down last year because my other business isn't really flourishing. And I thought, okay, just take a break here. So, you know how fate works. I've been approached by a wellness college out of Vancouver who've asked me to teach their leadership program. Isn't that crazy?
Congratulations. That's amazing.
I know. So we're just kind of figuring all of that out right now. And for 2024, I'm going to sit down and finish the two books that I've had outlined for like 5 years. 2024 is my year of writing.
Okay. So what can Mary and I do to help keep it accountable with the books.
You can just send me a text and go, "What's up, sister?"
Hello. This reminds me so much of some reading that I was doing early this morning. And this comes out of Harvard, and they talk about 100 most useful productivity tips. And the one is called time boxing. So what that involves, and I'll send this out to you, it's, you know, and so as you're thinking about your books or your books, how do you brain dump, you know, what are your priorities in getting this book done or these books done? So you identify the top priorities, and then actually what you need to do is time box. So then you need to identify what time you're going to get what priority completed. And the template is beautiful. It's called The Time Box, coming out of Harvard. And I don't mind being a part of your time box on a, I don't know, monthly, weekly, daily process. So you let us know what you'd like us to do to help you with your time boxing.
Thanks, you guys. That's awesome.
Well, and on that note, because that's a great idea, and it makes me think of in my journals, I do a 5-4-3-2-1. We've talked about this before. Five years, where am I going to be in 4 months? What can I do in 3 weeks, 2 days, 1 hour? And so January is like going to be the start of a new journal. And I love that part of just laying out in different parts of my life what I can do right now to get to what I want to do down the road.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. And I know you both know this, but if you put everything on your plate at once, it becomes too much and you don't get any of it done. And so I love that, chunking it down. Even if it's getting up at 5 a.m, intentionally writing, even if it's setting aside 6 o'clock at night and intentionally writing, or whatever it is you want to be intentional about. And it's really important. And you're making yourself accountable by doing it. Because I think we all do that. It's like, I've got so many projects that I want to do and I don't do any of them, right?
I think that that actually speaks to like how we made the decision to kind of turn Leading Through Stories into something else. We all found that we had too many things on our plate. And although we love that time of every month getting together, it was more and more difficult as our lives went in different directions. So Mary, what have you been up to? What are you excited about for 2024?
You know what? I think, Christy, thank you for the question. One of the things that I'm really excited about is thinking about the teams that I get to work with and actually getting them to think about where they are in their learning journey. And I'm talking about clients that include either principals or emerging leaders or med students or some law students that I'm working with or organizations in the non-for-profit. The question is, where are you? Where do you want to go? And how will you get there and who will support you? So I love those questions. It really ties into some of the work out of my book, you know, the instructional talk through process. I'm most excited about five groupings of teams that I get to work with on a monthly basis. And so through those leadership learning series, we are all able to develop not only the relationships and trust that is inherent in kind of reflecting on where I am, where I want to go, how I'm going to get there, but also the productivity and the leadership development that is emerging, especially from some of my emerging leaders. I just kind of sit back and am in awe. And as I work with their direct reports, they're leading things in their school. So Dean and I, my husband and I, were asked to do a keynote presentation a couple of weeks ago. You know, keynote presentation on the importance of self-care, wellness. And we thought, sure, that's not a big deal. You know, we've got lots of experience. We've got lots of supports. We've got lots of resources. And then they told us that the keynote was half a day. It's like, okay, that is not a keynote. So for 600 people, really looking at getting people to reflect on obviously their productivity, but how are you living well to continue to lead well? So those are some of the things that we're doing. Yeah.
I also love so we are in very different industries, right? Mary and I know each other from education, but I'm no longer in that education space. But the fact that we get to talk about what we're seeing in the areas that we're in, and Mary, it sounds like as you've progressed, you're dealing with different sectors as well. And that, like the conversations that come up because different perspectives are coming, it's not helpful to always have conversations with educational leaders. You need other leaders brought in to talk about it. And you've always done a really good job. When you had your conference at the Banff Center, that was the first time I met you, and you had Pilar from the Edmonton Public Library. You had, I believe her name was Shona.
Dr. Shona McLaughlin. Yeah. Yes. Emergency physician at Stollery. Yeah.
Those conversations and listening to those people speak at an education conference was mind blowing for me. Definitely like set a path a while ago.
And it's interesting, Christy, when you say that, because initially when some of these organizations, you know, call me to kind of say, hey, we need your help. We have young med students that need coaching and mentoring to get into med school. It's like, that is not my forte. And they're kind of, I am not a doctor. I, you know, this is the comment that I had with one of my clients. I know nothing about medicine other than my doctor I love. And I'm really sad she's retiring this year, by the way. And they said, that's not what we want you for. We want you to guide our young students through the lens of who they are. And so there's so many parallels, education, business, non-for-profit. Helen, you were talking about your team from Cinderella, you know, and I only do the bookkeeping was your quote a few minutes ago. Your leadership actually has created that team. And when I think about the words of trust, high levels of engagement, you know, supporting them through the challenges and successes and celebrating successes. It doesn't matter. It's Cinderhelly, it's Wolf Automotive, it's Common Language, it's educators. It's really interesting.
I think that's really what you just said was really important. And not to diminish my role in the company, but I'm super proud of myself. And I had to learn as a leader to not micromanage. Does everything happen the way I would do it? Absolutely not. But I've also got 30 years of life experience on my team. When they introduced me to someone, oh, it's our boss, Helen. Nope, I'm not your boss. I'm your team member.
It's about relationships and sense of belonging. So I have a question, Christy. You asked about, you know, Helen's work and my work. I cannot tell you how excited I am to read your posts, your LinkedIn comments, to see those digital stories and the impact that they're making in many people's lives, you know. So tell us a little bit about your highlights.
Thank you. I just finished my level 3 common language digital storytelling training. So along with Mike Lang, we are now the people that are training people who would like to do digital storytelling. And so honestly, this finished a week ago. The two people that I was training were connected to the Alberta Children's Hospital. They're physicians and they are looking to do research. So I definitely still do stories with like individuals who come to me about stories. Right now I'm finding there's more in the research world and my connection through medical families and supporting family engagement in research. So I leave tomorrow, which is Friday, to go to Children's Healthcare Canada, where I am presenting at their conference, the Transitions to Adulthood. We're presenting the workshop we did with Heartbeats and Western Canadian Children's Heart Network. So again, talking about digital storytelling, how it can be used for quality improvement, how it can be used to support conversation between, as we were talking about, families and patients and healthcare providers, and how do we kickstart conversations in those spheres? I'm super excited. There will be a live podcast that comes out from CHC because there are 4 of us actually related to common language that are going to be there. So we're going to do a live podcast while we're there. And
look at you go, girl. That's amazing. And you know, Kane is a gift. And that's the thing I'm always about is what is the gift that's been given to you? Now you've got the gift of two beautiful sons, but look at the gift that Kane's journey has brought all of you. That's beautiful.
It is. It's really neat to see like where this has gone. And it's only been 2 years with Common Language and learning digital storytelling, but I have such a passion for it that it's easy to keep talking about it. It's easy to keep doing it. I got to see Mary in October because we did a digital story screening in Edmonton. Those 3 storytellers, Christy and Kathleen and Cindy, did a podcast with me about what it's like to go to a screening and have that experience. Mary, what did you think? Because you hadn't been to a screening before.
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting for me. Helen, you just talked about the gifts that we're provided with. Every one of those stories, there was a gift conversation about what this has done for my family and our friends and those actually in the audience. I mean, 3 amazing stories. And tears after all of them. I'm thinking, I don't even know these people. And I'm so emotionally connected. And 2 things stood out for me the most. Krista, you talk about common language, common understanding. We talk about that in education. So we make no assumptions. We start from a similar foundation. And each one of those stories taught me something about myself. And so I was a little selfish thinking, and I was sitting beside, you know, people from Wolf and, you know, one of the service managers. And it was really interesting in that small group conversation. But we really had a conversation about what does this mean for us in our lives? And how do we selfishly think, aren't we so fortunate? As difficult as some of these situations are, and I mean, it hasn't been an easy journey for those families. Where is the gift and what does that do in gifting others to reflect on who they are? And how do we turn a potentially very challenging situation to a situation where we're resilient, we're going to get through this, and here are the gifts that our children or our teams bring to us. It was fabulous. Thank you for the invitation.
You can't go to any of Christy's screenings and not walk out with tears. And it's good tears, though. And to your point, Mary, it doesn't matter what the story is that's being told. I think the most important thing are two things. You're not alone, and we all share the same emotions.
Well, Helen, and I have to say, because Helen's done a digital story, and yours is also about a tough topic. It's one of the things about digital storytelling is likely you cannot tell the story when you're in that trauma. You have to wait until you're like far enough away from it to have that perspective to look back and kind of see maybe things that did come out of it that were a positive. And not every story turns into a positive. There are some stories that the ending of that particular digital story doesn't leave you on a like, oh, everything's been like, this is now a new great normal for them. That isn't always the case. But I think that having the space and the time to process a story and work through it to create this video is something that's amazing. And we've talked about in the past that it can be public, but it can also just be something for you. And my hope for 2024 is to do some more workshops where the product doesn't necessarily need to be anywhere, that it's the process for those people as they're working through their stories. And so I am doing some work with Canmore Counseling. They're doing something called the Heart-Based Business Academy in January and February. And so I've set aside some time to work on what it is I want to be bringing. And what I want to be bringing is workshops and retreats to the Bow Valley around digital storytelling. So I've said it. I don't know how long it's going to take, but that's my goal.
I really love that the digital story process is 2 to 4 minutes. And you just took the words right out of my mouth. It's about the process versus the product. But I must say, when your father-in-law's story was presented, that, yes, was probably a beautiful process that you and Bob went through because it was a surprise. I'll let you kind of give the details there. But that product is so important for his family and the Wolf team that works at Wolf Cadillac to know here's the legacy of 100 years. So I'm begging to differ just a little bit. I'm sure that process was beautiful for you and Bob and the surprise, but that product will not go anywhere. That is part of the Wolf legacy.
Well, okay, so Mary's talking about this because the screening that she went to was part of the Wolf Automotive Group was starting a speaker series called Women on the Move. And I was the first speaker. I wasn't in my capacity from Wolfpack Warriors Foundation or with the Automotive Group. I was coming from digital storytelling. And so I talked a little bit about digital storytelling. We had 3 storytellers. And the 4th story we decided to do was bring in Bob's digital story about the 100 years of the automotive group. And it was the right audience because there was a number of people from the Wolf Automotive Group team there. And just thinking about the stories that lead to the businesses, a lot of people that I work with end up telling like a personal family story. But I think that every business has an origin story. I think every nonprofit has examples of why people are connected to that nonprofit that they could be telling. And I agree. I love the products. I think the products are really important, but I also want to stress it doesn't have to be about that part. And I actually find that it's usually about both. There's a process goal and there's a product goal, and that's kind of how it comes back together. But I want Helen to talk about Alyssa. Now, Alyssa was someone who was helping us when we were doing the first 2 seasons of Leading Through Stories. She was writing blogs for us. So she would listen to the live stream and then she would write a blog for us because, I don't know, because we didn't want to do it, but also because she's amazing at it. Helen, tell us about what's happening for Alyssa right now.
So I met Alyssa, I don't know how many years ago, and she's just this beautiful human being, like inside and out. She's just lovely, and she just gets you. It's crazy. Anybody, she has their voice, and she's so good at it. Anyway, I had coffee with her. So she wrote this book that I got. It's called Confessions of a Ghostwriter, and it is so inspiring because I don't want to tell her story though. I think you just need to read it. But I will tell you that when she decided she wanted to be a ghostwriter, someone had said, "Do you do ghostwriting?" She's like, "Oh yeah." And then she Googled, "What is a ghostwriter?" But she's really just coming along so well in her career with this. She gave up her full-time career with the city of Airdrie to jump into something she wasn't sure if it was going to work. I mean, she's really good at it, but it doesn't mean it's going to be successful, right? So she wrote this book, and it turned out her book is the second highest book that's been gifted. Normally, when you write a book and you have your launch, someone buys a copy for themselves, but she's finding a lot of people are buying two or three copies to give to friends because everyone wants to tell their story, whether it's in the written word or in digital. The book is so good, and it's just about how to tap into your higher consciousness to write your book, which is write your story, right? So, just a little plug for Alyssa. If you want this book, it's on Amazon, Confessions of a Ghostwriter.
I will also put the link in the show notes for this. So when we send this out, we'll send out her information as well.
It's just fun to watch someone follow their dream and have it come true.
I'd like to plug in the opportunity that we had to work with Dr. Lisa Boulanger, her newsletters and her ability to engage an audience is like none other. I must say, shout out to Lisa, Dr. Lisa Boulanger, her newsletter in looking at prepping for the Christmas season, how do we take good care of ourselves, that whole cup of mindfulness. If you haven't snooped on her website, please do so. It will refresh you and actually guide some of your thinking. So thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Lisa.
Well, I mentioned that I get to see her tonight. So tonight is the premiere of Caregivers in the Wild, which is the TV series that Mike Lang did. And Lisa is one of the like experts, like the therapists that come on these trips. And another friend of ours, Ashley, is one of the parents because it's caregivers. So sometimes it's parents, sometimes it's spouses, sometimes it's grandparents kind of thing that go on these trips and have an adventure, but also work through some of what that caregiving experience is. So I'm excited to see what's next for Lisa, for Mike Lang, for all of these things that are going on. It's just incredible to see the web of how our lives and our connections and the people that we have met through each other intertwine. On that note, ladies, we've been going for 35 minutes, so we're going to say thank you. And we're going to sign off and say, I don't know, Happy New Year.
Can I say one thing before we sign off?
Please.
This is your take back, bring backs. In signing off, I want you to reflect on the following comments. You're the CEO of your own life. It's now time for your performance review. You need to rate yourself between 1 and 10, 1 never, 10 always. And there are 18 questions you need to kind of respond to. And I'm not going to read them all to you, but are you setting clear boundaries for yourself? 10, always, 1, never. Second question, do you balance work and life well? Another question, last but not least, do you listen to your gut? So there are 18 questions that get you to reflect on your performance evaluation of yourself as your own CEO. And then you need to reflect on where are you the strongest? What could you improve and what is your first next step? So for those of you, Helen, I know you work with a team. Maybe get your team to do this. I've got principals doing this. I've got my emerging leaders doing this. It's that self-reflective process. So you're the CEO of your own life. I'll send this off to you. But what an honor.
Ladies, this has been phenomenal. It was so great to see you. All the best in 2024. And we're going to find a time to actually sit down and have a meal together. Everyone has a story to tell. We would love to hear from you. We always include a link to the stories we're talking about in the episode show notes. Please let us know what resonated for you in today's episode. Your comments will be passed on to the storyteller. You can email us at ltspodcast2023@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at Leading Through Stories. Leading Through Stories is sponsored by Common Language Digital Storytelling, facilitator training for health and wellness changemakers. Don't miss the next episode. Subscribe to Leading Through Stories on your favorite podcast platform.